Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Morning Mess.
All right, y'all. It's The Morning Mess. It's Joey Boy.
Hi, it's Anish.
Hello, it's Gina.
And it's Carla.
And ladies and gentlemen, Morning Messers, Miley Cyrus.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being had.
Yes, it's my pleasure.
We were just kind of talking off here. We're kind of disappointed, Miley. I want to get your take on this. Trick-or-treating, we hear from our friends, LA are canceling trick-or-treating this year because of COVID, man. How do we feel about this?
I think that we're all adjusting to some new idea of normal, and that doesn't mean that you still can't get dressed up, take right. a million pictures. I mean, listen, this is the way that Instagram goes. Half the time, no one's doing the things they're posting anyways. They're just posting a photo to make it look like they're living the most interesting life of all time. So you can still keep up with that entire facade on Halloween, you know, like the backdrop we've got going on, put a bunch of friends and family, be whoever you want to be. We just got to adjust to the new normal.
Well, here's the thing. I have a 3- and 5-year-old, and Carly here has a suggestion for my 3- and 5-year-old who are very excited Halloween is coming in because they know. Carly, you suggested.
Okay, honestly, I told them to just not tell his kids at all that Halloween was happening because how are they going to know? They're not going to know.
Yeah, they're really not going to know. That's I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but it'll probably get you. It'll get you through.
The 5-year-old's going to know. He's got friends on his Zoom classes.
I think, yeah, it'll probably be. Can we do like some? I know it's not the same, this virtual new way of living, but maybe there's a way that they can still get to participate. It doesn't seem like it needs to be totally canceled. You just got to get creative. You got to take off the creative cuffs.
True.
Right. Did you have like a favorite candy? I mean, I don't know if you were trick or treating when you were younger, but like, was there that one go to?
I was. And you know what? I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. So people don't just pass out candy in Nashville. Dads are out there grilling.
Yes.
The dads are barbecuing. Like, I'm like, only in Nashville do they pass out barbecue and no candy. So I had a few people down the street. Actually, one of my friend's dads always really scared us because he would bury himself and then jump up like a real zombie. And I think even at like 3 years old, I'm still a little scarred about Halloween because of how good he was at camouflaging himself into the ground and then would scare us. But then he made a mean barbecue and all was well.
Okay.
Nashville people, we don't have a lot going on. That you have a lot, you have all year to be planning the way that you're going to. I mean, it is kind of weird that we have a holiday surrounding scaring children, but you get really good at it.
So on that note, then, like, I feel like there's two types of people. You have spooky season lovers like myself, and then you have people that are a little, you know, bring on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Where do you fall?
I am kind of the Grinch when it comes to Christmas because I feel like it's just always Cyrus family chaos. I am a Halloween person. I love getting dressed up. I love being able to have all year getting to decide when films come out or an artist does something, you're like, that's what I want to do. I want to recreate that. Like when you watch a video, like, you know, whether it's Cardi and Megan or there's just so many ideas. And so I think I love Halloween much more than I love like getting into fall because it gets very family and my family gets dysfunctional around that time. We've never gone a Christmas without a fist fight.
Oh my God.
A fist fight.
We're all conspiracy theorists. And then we start arguing about who's right. And you don't even want to bring up aliens at the table.
Oh, we were just talking about aliens last week on the show.
My brothers like didn't speak for 6 months because of an alien Thanksgiving conversation.
Girl, wait, are you a believer of UFOs or not?
Yes, I do not think that we're the only ones out. That's some narcissistic crap. If you think
exactly.
like in this entire universe, the billions and billions of unknown, that we're the only ones. That's people that are thinking that they're greater than they are. There's something greater than us for sure.
Right, and this year has been so crazy that literally the officials came out this year like, yeah, UFOs are real.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of admitted because 2020 is so crazy, and we didn't even care.
And we are living amongst the, like, I mean, I think that this is the most alien planet we could ever be on everything right now when we're looking at, like, all the characters in our politics in, like, this year. I mean, I think that this is, something's watching us down there being like, oof, can November hurry up?
Right.
For real. Right. For real. I know, like, there's the saving grace for me, which is always, like, watching TV shows. I gotta say, I'm a huge fan of RuPaul's Drag Race, and I love yes, and I love when you got to go on and guest star. But even more so, your recent conversation with Joe Rogan, where you gave it to him when he was coming after, I think it was Kennedy Davenport.
Kennedy, yeah, don't come for Kennedy.
Don't do it.
Do not. Just don't even do it. If I won't come for you, she'll come for you later. She actually sent me a DM about kind of like talking about the history of those performances. And so when he was like, oh, you know, the death drop over and over and over again. One, I don't know if you ever watch UFC, but it's basically death dropping.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like when that's the only reason I ever watched is because they just death drop all over the place. But there's like just such a rich history that comes with that performance art and with drag culture and like how it's such a revolution and just such that's so punk rock and like creating your own identity. That's such a incredible idea that you can create even someone that you want to be, not all the time, but almost like, you know, in Big Daddy where he like puts on his glasses and all of a sudden he can be invisible. That's like me with a wig. Like I can be whoever I want to be, whether that's becoming visible, whether that's being invisible, whether that feels like being truer to yourself or wanting a vacation from being yourself. Drag is just an amazing art form. And I think there's so much that we can learn from the culture. Even if you don't do drag, I just think from the culture and the ideology, I think that's incredible.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. I definitely agree. Cause also I say this with respect, but even when I see things like your performance for the VMAs, like I feel like this is a form of drag. Is that like, right?
Always. We're all born naked.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We're all born naked. The rest is drag. I think every day, I mean, even just the simplest things are an idea of like you are creating your identity. And especially when you go against what has been asked or expected of you. So whether it's the idea or the identity your parents created for you, the, you know, kind of your teachers. I mean, all of us have a self and then a self that people expect of us to be. And I think who we create, creating our identity. And also I like the idea that you can have someone that you can escape to and turn on and off. Also, I think that's really powerful.
Right.
I mean, I've been doing that for 15 years. I made a whole career off putting a wig on and lip syncing. I am a drag queen.
Oh, wow, yeah. Right. It's kind of like Hannah Montana, right? Like I
of
feel
course.
Like
of course. And I also love the idea of getting to choose your own name. And then your name either, you know, just like our surnames do, representing our family, representing our house, like, you know, being able to create your own family. And that's what we do. I mean, generationally, we want to pass on our legacy through our name. And I love that about the drag culture also, is that you get to choose your name. And in that, you get to choose like your mother and your house and your family, and you get to like create a legacy. It's really, really beautiful. And I think it's so reflective of, I think we could learn so much from it. I think all of us can learn so much of it. I mean, think how much pride they take in their name, in their, who they represent. And like you sometimes, you know, families, there are such differences that you're like, you know, if they don't accept you, you don't want to be represented by someone that isn't accepting or doesn't have your same morals and values. So the fact that you get to choose who that person is and then you get to carry their name on, it's like, you know, we don't choose family, but in this drag culture, we can.
So interesting with the drag culture. I literally just found out, I mean, with some that Anish told me here on the show, I just found out, Miley, this past year, do you watch the show or follow the show Pose?
Yes.
I just found out my cousin, I just met my cousin for the first time, is MJ Rodriguez.
What?
Yes.
Isn't that so cool?
I went to a family reunion and everyone was pointing. It was like 100 Rodriguez. I'm a Rodriguez. And they're like, do you know that cousin right there? Because you're in radio. You know, she's on a big show. And
that is so lucky. She's everything to me. Show is so fabulous. And honestly, I just need everything to come back so all of our favorite shows can come back. Actually, I'm really good friends with India, also from Pose. And she's one of my favorite leading activists right now. She's always like loud in a loving way, which I think is the way that we have to lead. We have to lead from a place of understanding and compassion. Right. Even though it's frustrating and it makes us angry, I think the way that she really verbalizes and the way that she communicates, she's very clear and direct. And I don't really believe in don't worry, be happy. I think that we should have healthy anxiety and we should worry. There's changes that need to be made. We need to worry about that. And I love that she doesn't live in like any sort of, she doesn't live with her head in the clouds. She doesn't live in an optimistic bubble, especially because she does have the privilege from being on the show. She's still just out there marching, using her voice, but she's leading with love, which is just gets people to really open up their ears when people don't feel judged and they can just feel like they're being heard. I just love the way that she's been like so loud and using her platform.
It's been awesome. Yeah, she's been teaching me a lot about the culture. Like she said, yeah, our grandfathers, our twin brothers. So I'm like, wow, we're really, really cousins. So it's awesome.
Wow.
Awesome show. Waiting for her to shoot the next season.
Well, I loved this conversation and this interview. We got to talk about nothing about my stuff and everything that I love and that all I've been doing at home. This is all I want. This just seems like me being at home. Like we're just talking about Pose and Rue.
Yeah.
And then tonight is the Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion, which is going to be a total mess. And I'm going to live for every second of it. I'm so ready when it comes to my TV. Oh, man. The more they fight, I just wish someone would, like, I know it's virtual, so there can be no hair pulling. But that's what I live for.
Could you imagine?
I live for it. I know, maybe through the screen.
That's awesome. Well, we gotta touch on your song, Midnight Sky. Talk about it.
Nah.
but I do have one question because I know that you directed that music video and that's such a huge moment in the career to like going back to what you said about creating that own identity and choosing your own name. And now you are taking the reins to do all of that. I have one specific question though. Do you have a different name that you kind of take on when you become that director role? Do you have a different persona for that specifically?
No, I think honestly, that's like my purest sense of self, actually. That's the most me I could be, is like really being in that sense of power and controlling all the elements to it. Whether, because I grew up, you know, kind of feeling at sometimes like a Happy Meal. Like I kind of felt like a kid's toy at sometimes. And there was an idea of what can we sell? What can you, you know, what can we print onto a bed sheet? You know, there was a lot of things that like, it wasn't just about the art. And it was also about a lot of people telling me what a teenage pop star should sound like, look like, what, you know, and I would be telling these guys, these producers that were like, old dads, I mean, even especially the ones with boys, I was like, you really don't know. But they would be like at home and being like, you know, she needs to wear like sneakers and whatever. This is before wearing sneakers on stage was a thing. I'm Dolly Parton's goddaughter. I don't do sneakers on stage. That's against the Bible. That goes against everything I believe in. And they're like, you know, we want you to be relatable and all these things. But then when it really would be me telling them what would be relatable, they couldn't really hear it. So there was just an idea that like I got kind of told of what my identity was and what a pop star is. And what I realized is that you got to put popular back in pop. Pop is just what is popular, what is like current and culturally relevant. It's not a genre at all. It's about like being in touch with culture and the times and trend setting. And it has nothing to do with this idea of like, you know, they talk about the formula, the pop formula. I just don't think there is such thing as a formula. I mean, look where I am. I think that everyone has to create their own environment and identity. You know, and I think that a lot of it had to do with just wanting to reclaim my power and my name, because I was so well known as someone other than myself for a long time.
Right. Well, we appreciate you. We know you got a long day of talking to others. It's not going to be as good as us, Miley.
I know. This was so much fun.
Yes. We love you. We can't wait till after this is all done. We have an in-studio interview with you and your little planet you're in right now.
I cannot wait. Thank you, guys.
The Morning Mess. Weekdays, 5 to 10 a.m. Live 101.5.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.